From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. Our next guest, Bob Grodke, opened Creative Trails in 2018 after having owned and operated Sagebrush Trails and Services for 10 years. He was also the trails guru at Snyderville Basin Rec for many years. Bob has extensive experience in all things trails, and it turns out it's a complex world of trails out there. Your average single track isn't just what it used to be. Most of all, Bob Grodke enjoys making trails for others. That's amazing. And interestingly, most people in Park City area, in fact, about 90% of them, data shows, enjoy using trails that people like Bob build. He joins us in studio to talk about the big business of trails. Welcome to the program, Bob.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks.
It's great to have you here. And I just looked over your resume of trails that you've built over the last 20 years. Yeah, that's an amazing list between all of our local trails here in Park City and trails around the country.
Yeah, close by, you know, a couple out of state, so, but...
And so this ranges from, you know, Bob's Basin.
Yes.
Aptly named. Who named that trail?
Not me.
And to, you know, a lot of local new trails over at High Star Ranch and so forth, but also things like Galena Lodge. So I'm curious, I have to ask this first and foremost, what is your favorite trail you've built outside of Creative prior to being at Creative? What's your favorite trail?
I always tell people, they ask me what my favorite trail is, and I say, well, the one I'm on, you know? So it's I like riding my bike and just being out, so it's always fun. I have a lot of fun riding my bike. It's, you know, it's my outlet and sanctity, but I got to tell you, like, for my style of riding, and we're going to get into this, I think, a little bit, but, you know, High Star Ranch is my kind of riding. I like the... And I had a great team out there building that and stuff and helping me. It was a great project, but the terrain lend itself to, you know, building some really, that's my kind of riding, you know, so.
And for those who've not ridden at High Star Ranch, how would you describe the riding out there?
Well, it's directional trail system, which I'm a big fan of. It goes up and then you come down, and the uphills are, you know, we tried to keep it pretty mellow. Terrain dictated kind of what we did, and the space we had, and the downhills, it was rocky there, but like good rock. The crew was able to build with the rock, and so to me it's playful. And that's my favorite kind of trail, is just a playful trail with, you know, berms and rocks and chunk and some speed and, I don't know, just a variety.
Yeah, I raced there several years ago at High Star Ranch, and I remember wanting to just curse at you for that trail because it was more rocky. I'm on a hardtail. And it's not as much fun, but I was going to throw in Galena Lodge as a blast, and I really have enjoyed riding over there when I get the chance.
Yeah, that's fun. Then that was done by a number of contractors. I think it was 3 or 4 years build out, and we participated. You know, Sagebrush Trails did for 1 year of that, and I think we ended up building about 14 miles of it. So, yeah, always a team effort to get a trail built.
Right. So. I thought, Bob, you were going to say Captain Ahab Trail
that beats me up.
and that's only because Bob and I were riding together a couple of years ago on Captain Ahab, and we were with this couple from New Zealand who are much older than we are, and they were flinging themselves off of just incredible things in their early 70s.
Yes.
It was amazing.
Wow. Yeah. And they ride everything. And Yeah, it's, they're fun to ride with.
Yeah, good times. So let's talk a little bit about how trail networks have evolved. I mean, back in the day in Park City, when we first started with our very narrow single track trail that might be about a 15 degree slope, and it would go from sort of point to point, you know, you'd get from maybe Deer Valley over to Park City. And now it seems like when I go out there in the world, I'm encountering trail networks. They're like little trail parks. In fact, last summer I was on one in Hood River. I'm forgetting what it's called. You probably know of it. It's just to the west of Hood River. And I was in this little network and we were trying to get out of it. And I almost felt like Hotel California. Like I was never going to get out of this little bike park that had these trails all, you know, each trail might be only, you know, 0.2 miles or something. Mm-hmm. But how is that whole thing evolving? And I suppose it all ties into land use.
Well, yeah, that's a big part of it. And, you know, where the trails come from, it varies. Like here, it's a little different than in Hood River and everything. So, but I think it kind of comes from, like I look at my job as we create experiences. Right, a trail experience, and there's such a variety of experiences that people want to have on the trails, and it's driving the product, right? Just like any business, and mountain bikes are changing, and there's a wide variety of mountain bikes and all that coming online. So, yeah, I think it's the industry is trying to keep up with the trends and maybe pushing the trends a little bit.
And so the trend of going from what used to be the 15% grade trail, now it seems as though we're not really building trails over about what, 5 or 6%?
Yeah, I think most are in that 5 to 7% range these days, right?
Okay. And it's not just all up and all down, it's rolling. It's, you know, it mm-hmm. back to that fun element. The turns are bermed, right. And so you can't just build a normal, you know, flat trail anymore, and it's so much more complex. Talk about, you know, the construction of a switchback.
Right. And so back up a little bit. So, you know, we still need our connector trails, right? And that's a trail that means everything to everybody all the time. And so they're a little more flat, you know, and they accommodate a lot more uses or people. But then we have more single-use trails and design more for specific uses. And in my philosophy is for a multi-use connector trail, I don't like to build big berms, because it increases the speed of a certain user group and entices the idiot in all of me to go faster. But we do bank them. They are tilted. Like, so the whole tilting of the trails, is a good word to use. And they all are like tilted in to support the mountain bikers, because it's a big part of our constituent or the use out there. Mm-hmm. And so they are supportive, and so we are, so that it flows with the use. But yeah, on a mountain bike specific trail, yeah, they're bermed, tilted, and all that, and it just enhances the experience mm-hmm. that we have on the bike and everything. So
I really appreciate how, again, I used to ride on these trails out east that were just random lines that went through woods and roots and rocks, and there was no intentionality of it. And many who started in the 90s, that was their experience. And then all of a sudden you would end, or you'd have to turn around, and they weren't connected to another trail, and you'd have to hop over bushes and trees and mountains and then go to another trail. I love how the trails that you're building, at least in your portfolio, and it looks like that you're working on more, are these interconnected systems, mm-hmm. and you are thinking about the experience. And so I, as a father, and I'm getting my 7-year-old into riding, I'm getting my 12-year-old, we're at different mm-hmm. levels. I really want a whole experience where I don't have to have one section of trail where my kid's screaming and crying, and I'm not screaming and crying because I'm dragging my kid along. I can have this loop or this section that is a full experience. Yeah. And then I can go on and then I can do some more of my writing while they're working on lunch. And that's a really great, where did that idea come from? Who thought of that?
So that's been around for a long time, actually. IMBA and their stacked loop system. I mean, when I started in the trail business, that was in their book. But it's just now catching on, you know, really. And I think it's because we're getting built up for trails. Like, you know, I think in our early days, 20 years ago, Park City was busy. We wanted to connect. You know, we wanted an interconnected trail system. And that's important too, right? And so, but now that we're getting built out and other these other little areas are getting built out or you know, it's just changing the nature of the sport, you know, like it's changing. There's more mountain bikers, more hikers, there's more people out there. And so we have to accommodate a lot more people. And I think the, you know, like Lynn and I both have ridden in New Zealand and I love riding there because mostly what they do are single use trails. It's just their culture and their directional, these places, most places I've ridden. And it's just a really fun experience, especially on a busy trail system. And it's just evolved that way to, I think, meet the demands of the use.
So are you suggesting, based on your experience and the way that you build trails and the number of users that are increasing, that you do suggest single use or intentional directional trails, and you know, mapping that out and making sure that's really obvious? Hey, this is a hiking trail, this is a biking trail, this is an e-bike trail. Is that what you're saying?
I lean toward that style of trail. You know, I think it, especially in a trail, you know, busy trail system, you know, like Park City, you know, like a small community that's just getting started. I don't know that that's appropriate, but as a master plan, their system, which I highly suggest everybody just does a master plan and not build one trail at a time, allow for the, you know, recreational loops and different experiences as they build it. So it's, you know, as I always encourage everybody to master plan, you know, not just start with one trail, but let's get a master plan together. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, it's evolved. People are getting smarter and how to do it and, you know, just pushing the technology or the methodology of what we do.
It's interesting. A handful of years ago, I was up in Whistler in British Columbia at their mountain, and whoa, what a bike park that is. I thought we had riding here, and we do, but I've never seen anything like that. We actually ended up getting a lesson. Like, you know, we've ridden bikes forever since the first mountain bike. Yes. Yes, I'm old, Pete.
No, I think I was, like, in my diaper riding in the 90s, so it's okay.
Yeah. And, you know, so I thought I knew how to ride downhill. And then we got to Whistler, and we thought, you know, it'd be fun to just rent downhill bikes, get all the gear, and take a lesson. And it was fantastic. And our wonderful coach was also a trail builder. And he was talking about the technology now where you have got a mapping system, you know, a GIS system. You're looking down, whether it's infrared or whatever it is, it's telling you about the topography. And literally there's a technology that you could, you know, imprint on the topography to show, like, what's going to be the best trail design. I had no idea that it was that complex. And so, you know, maybe we're talking more about a bike park like Whistler, which it has got to be, you know, so designed along with the topography. But is that something that you're using, or is it still, you know, kind of an organic thing where you look at the side of a hill and you say, and you can, you know, you just have the vision, you can see where the trail should go?
Yeah, it's a combination, I think. Like the technology is just out of this world with that. Like, I've heard of, there's a guy going around, he's got a LIDAR. He gets LIDAR, which is a, I don't know what that is, but he can see every rock, like every bush and stuff. So he can, like, really design the final product on his computer. We use GIS stuff, our technology, where we have topo lines and aerial photography. And we come out, and my style is, like, you know, we have property boundaries. There's always property boundaries that affect the trail layout, mm-hmm. you know, topography things. And so you find those on your GIS system. You have that. You use the topography to, you know, what you want to, you know, the purpose of the trail. It's like every trail should have a purpose, and you define that and try to build that trail, you know, build the purpose and topography and your grades. And I build a concept on the map just to give me an idea of what the elevations and topography will do. Mm-hmm. Then it's important to go out in the field and do the organic side of it. What's really on the ground and how does that work? Yeah. And so sometimes we end up being really close to the concept that we do on the map, and sometimes it varies a little bit. You know, the contour lines we work with aren't all that accurate sometimes, but.
If you're just joining us on The Mountain Life, we're speaking with Bob Radke. He's the founder of Creative Trails, and he just finished, well, about a month two ago, the Slate Creek Trail out in the Uintas. Neither Pete nor I have been out there yet.
Wait, stop. This is news. There's mountain biking in the Uintas?
I know.
So that was a great, like, collaborative project between South Summit Trails Foundation, the Forest Service, and then us. You know, like, everybody had a part in it, and it was great. And it's a beginning of a system of trails that they're going to build out there. They have plans for a significant amount of trails. And so it'll take a few years to build out. And just, I heard you guys talking earlier. So Slate Creek Trail is designed for mountain bikes, but hikers are allowed on it. It is a multi-use trail, no horses. They don't want horses. There's horse trails in the area. No horses, but hiking is allowed. So if you are letting her rip down on the downhill, there may be hikers walking up and stuff. So.
Oh, good to know.
It's not a prolific hiking area, Slate Creek.
Right. So the Yellow Pine Trail, it's the Yellow Pine Trailhead right there. So they're Yellow Pine Trail has been a popular common hiking trail for a long time. But yeah. So I think I've been out there 4 or 5 times, and I've seen hikers on it 4 out of the 5 times. I've ridden it. So
interconnected trail system in the Uintas. What was the, I mean, it is, it's historically a horse area, it's historically a hiking area and fishing area. What precipitated that conversation to really develop into, well, let's build some mountain biking? I mean, I've always dreamed of, you know, biking the Highline Trail or, you know, something like that. Wouldn't be super fun to bike the Highline Trail, but.
Well, this is the influence that nonprofits, trail foundations can have, right? And so they have a little different situation over here. Park City, all this land is private. So you're saying, like, it got developed in a different manner than a lot of different areas. Forest Service over there, like, I don't think the Forest Service has much money, so they don't do new projects. But if you have a nonprofit like South Summit Trails Foundation come in and say, we want to partner with you, what can we do? And South Summit funds it. Forest Service is like, usually, I mean, it depends on the lots of factors, but yeah. So they just worked, South Summit Trails Foundation worked with the Forest Service and made it happen. It's a great partnership they have there.
That's really exciting. To hear of trail mountain biking in the Uintas is super encouraging. It's such a beautiful terrain, and I look forward to that.
I want to mention one thing. I've been on trail design, and kind of where it's going is I got pulled into this group through the Utah Office of Outdoor Recreation to start putting out their, you know, trail design for adaptive use and hand cycles. And I'm really excited about the direction that they want to go with this. I went to a trails conference a number of years ago, and I went to a session on ADA standards for natural surface trail, you know, adaptive trail design standards. And I'm sitting through there going, ay, 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 lots of restrictions, and, you know, everything has to be accessible that we do. You know, it takes away the experience that a lot of us want to have because of, you know, guidelines that they're going to thinking about developing. So locally, it's user driven and what the users want, and what they're really looking at is not much different. And so it's really exciting. They just want to go ride with their friends, and they don't want their friends to not have a good experience. So what they just wanted are a little bit wider trails, you know, like their hand cycles are, like, I think the widest one I saw was 38 inches wide. That's great. It's just a good trail build. That's what we do. Our excavators aren't that narrow, so we have to build them at least that wide or a little wider, so that's good. And they just want better turns, that not so tight, tilted, mm-hmm. so supportive, and turns that they can navigate. The obstacles, the grades, it's not a factor for them. Mm. And so it's really exciting that we can provide trails that, you know, can provide some experience for a lot of different people and a variety of trails. So I think having a variety of trails is just the key to anything.
That's so important that you say that. And it's my understanding that Porcupine and Down Dog in Round Valley were built for that very purpose, and especially with the National Ability Center right there and bringing out the Wounded Warrior Project and people with hand cycles. I mean, and what great trails. I mean, those are some of our
trails.
Favorites.
Right.
Yeah, that's wonderful that you're involved with that.
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy, I hope, the continuing with this and getting that word out to land managers and people building trails. It's like, let's put that in the specs, as an awareness or something like that. So, yeah.
Before we let you go, we only have a few moments left. We would be remiss if we didn't ask you about how new trails are coming on with e-bikes in particular in mind. As we know, in the Park City area, with few exceptions, e-bikes on single track are not allowed, except if you're over 65 and have gotten the permit and a few other things. Sky Ridge Trails do allow e-bikes, as we understand, out at the Jordanelle. But talk just briefly about where that's going, and do they need their own trails, in your opinion?
Yeah, Salt Lake City Trails and Openlands just did a study down there on that, and I was able to participate a little bit with it. And I think, they're here. They're gonna be more popular as time goes on. You see more and more of them. And when we were in Salt Lake City last fall building, there's a lot of them down there. And their trails are different, you know, steeper, so it kind of makes sense. But I think, why not, you know, have them in Park City. I agree with the ordinance. It's because it's busy and multi-directional, and you go, I've been uphill at 15, 16 miles an hour on them, and that's just, yeah, too much. But as far as trail design, not much. The turns can be tilted on the uphill end, you know, because when you pedal, it boosts up around the top part of the turn. You know, you just want to make sure, you know, you banked turns for going uphill, you know, really. So
yeah, so directionality is sort of where the direction we need to go, the direction, and before we are really allowing e-bikes on trails. And then it's kind of hard, because again, then if you have a master plan for connections and things like that, it's hard to move from a multi-direction trail to a one-direction trail. But
it can be done, you know. So,
and we could talk another hour about all of that. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Bob Radke, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks for stopping in and, you know, getting out of your work clothes.
Yeah.
He even has a collared shirt
up
on.
It looks great.
I'm in town today, yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for the rest.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.